Welcome again to Bethel Baptist Church's Searching the Scriptures class, where we take your questions and we answer them from the Word of God. Before we begin this afternoon, let's go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, we thank you for your divine word and grace, for the greatness of your love and your compassion, for the greatness of the power of the gospel of Jesus Christ, that we would serve you, we would pursue you, and we would honor you with all that is in our heart, mind, and soul. And I pray that at this time, Lord, we would be strengthened by your word and by your spirit to do your will and abound in you and in your glorious riches. We praise you and rejoice in you in Jesus' name. Amen. So for those of you joining us over the internet, you can always connect up to us through Yahoo Instant Messenger, BBCMH95037 is our ID. And if you're listening to us, even if you just want to drop us a note that you're listening, you can send an email to questions@bbcmh.org. And you can also send your questions or things that you heard other people say or believe, and you'd just like for us to look into it and record it and document it. Just send an email to questions@bbcmh.org. So does anybody have any questions? Okay. So we're going to take a look at the question of why couldn't Isaac's blessing with Jacob and Esau be a do-over? So the question here is dealing with when Jacob or when Isaac delivered a blessing that he thought he was giving to Esau, that the recipient of the blessing was actually Jacob. And later when Esau came in and Isaac recognized what had happened, he didn't say, wait, I meant that mess up, that the blessing was a mess up, let's try this again. So we'll take a look at this, and we'll be looking at aspects of this blessing as we go. So the first thing we want to do is, well, when Isaac delivered the blessing, under what authority or what did he consider was the authority of the source of that blessing? So we're going to go to Genesis 28, verses 3 and 4.
And God Almighty bless thee, and make thee be fruitful, and multiply thee, that thou mayest be a multitude of people, and give thee the blessing of Abraham to thee and to thy seed with thee, that thou mayest inherit the land wherein thou art a stranger, which thou gave unto Abraham.
So the blessing that Isaac delivered to Jacob and Esau, who did he believe ultimately was the source or the authority of that blessing?
God
was. So this was, they viewed that as a communication from God regarding the future of the one being blessed. And so we'll take a look at that. So if it's God that's speaking, then he's got to deal with what God is speaking. So we'll take a look at another passage, Judges 11:35. Welcome, Joe. Joe, you want to get us?
And it came to pass when he saw her that he rent his clothes and said, "Alas, my daughter, thou hast brought me very low, and thou art one of them that trouble me, for I have opened my mouth unto the Lord, and I cannot go back."
Now, this was not necessarily a blessing, but it was a vow or a commitment that Jephthah made. He made it before God in regards to winning this battle. Now, what was his vow or his word? What was the backing of his word in his mind? What was the authority of his word? What was the source of it, basically? God, ultimately. It was before God that he opened his mouth, that he spoke. And so the same thing with Isaac. Okay, and so we'll take a look at Romans. Paul takes a look at this in Romans 9:20-21. We look at a summary of this issue. So I will take a look at that just because I can. He says, "Nay, but, O man, who art thou that replies against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why hast thou made me thus? Hath not the potter power over the clay of the same lump to make one vessel unto honor and another unto dishonor? So when you make a vow or a commitment, which a blessing is a sort of type of that, who was it stated before? Who are you proclaiming this in front of as a validation of commitment, the authority behind it ultimately? It's God. And so when he spoke, he was viewing it in a sense as speaking in behalf of God in delivering his message of blessing to him. And so if he spoke on God's place, who is he to revoke it and change God's mind, or to proclaim and change God's mind? So we can also learn some other aspects about this particular blessing, dealing with the circumstances. So if we look back at part of this blessing, Genesis 27, look at verses 9 to 13.
Go now to the flock and fetch me from thence two good kids of the goats, and I will make them savory meat for the father such as he loveth. And thou shalt bring it to thy father, that he may eat, and that he may bless thee before his death. And Jacob said to Rebekah his mother, Behold, Esau, my brother, is a hairy man. I am a smooth man. My father, peradventure, will feel me, and I shall sing to him as a deceiver, and I shall bring a curse upon me, and not a blessing. And his mother said unto him, Upon me be thy curse, my son, only obey my voice, and go fetch me.
Okay, so here we have the opening of this blessing, this time of blessing that is delivered to Jacob from Isaac. And so it was known and understood that the blessing was supposed to be delivered to Esau. So why was Jacob the recipient of the blessing then? Okay. So this was a work of deception, which is interesting. So here you have a work of deception going on, and still we have Isaac saying, I've got to stick to what I said. Okay. And so, which tells you the power and the authority of which he believed that he was speaking. Okay. And it gets more interesting as we continue looking. Let's look further down in Genesis 27, 30-35.
And it came to pass, as soon as Isaac had made an end of blessing Jacob, and Jacob was yet scarce gone out from the presence of Isaac his father, that Esau his brother came in from his hunting, and he also had made savory meat, and brought it into his father, and said unto his father, Let my father arise and eat of his son's venison, that thy soul may bless him. And Isaac his father said unto him, Who art thou? And he said, I am thy son, thy firstborn Esau. And Isaac trembled very exceedingly and said, Who? Where is he that hath taken venison and brought of me? And I have eaten of all before thou camest, and have blessed him. Yea, and he shall be blessed. And when Esau heard the words of his father, he cried with a great and exceeding bitter cry, and said unto his father, Bless me, even me also, my father. And he said, Thy brother came with subtlety, and hath taken away thy blessing.
Okay. So as we look at this, if we look at verse 33, Isaac just delivered the blessing unto Jacob, thinking it was Esau. And Jacob takes off, and Esau walks into the room. And as we look at verse 33, what was Isaac's immediate response once he realized what had happened?
He trembled.
He trembled. Right? And so that implies that there was a sense of fear. And so if he were to go against his previous words of blessing, what would he believe would happen? Possibly. Why would you tremble in this case?
It's a hard decision. You don't want to curse your son, right?
Right. One, you don't want to curse your son. But it's more than that, because he's delivered this hand of blessing that he believed was to Esau, but was actually recipient of Jacob, and now he realized what has happened. Okay, and he's basically is left with two options. To just say, oops, sorry, let's try this again, the do-over concept. It was my mistake, I'm sorry, apologize, and move on. Or to take into a view, as we have here, that he's actually deliver his blessing on by the hand, in essence, by the hand of God, by the path of God. And so now he's thinking, okay, I messed up. I'm in a whole lot of trouble here if I do anything else. Right? If I change my blessing, I have spoken before God. How can I do this? So Jacob is looking, Isaac is looking for a way out. And he doesn't see a way out because he has already spoken. Notice what he says at the end of verse 33. And he shall be blessed. Okay? So he really believed that the blessing he was communicating was actually and truly and exceedingly a message from God. And so if this is from God and God knows who he blessed, you can't go against God. Okay? And that's where he's at with this. Even though he says your brother came subtly and have taken away thy blessing, ultimately he would view this as, most likely view this as, but God saw what happened and God will bless him. But God is the one that was in control and took control of this whole thing.
Yeah, so this is what God intended.
Ultimately, yeah, which is, we'll take a look at that in a minute, but that is the direction that he's going, that he would be going with this, is God's in control. God's got it under control, and he knows he wants to bless Esau. But if he does bless Esau in the way that he had blessed Jacob, or reverse part of the blessing of Jacob, he'd be going directly against God. And that's a huge issue to have to face, deal with.
And I think that you say later is the power of our words, right?
Yeah.
And that commitment and integrity. So again, it's so easy for us to say, well, you lied to me, right? Because that's my immediate thought. It's like, they lied. It's now, contract voided, right? But these men had such high integrity, again, respect for God, obviously.
Mm-hmm.
It's pretty amazing to me, because I just like, wow, he should have gotten, he should have gotten his blessing, right?
and that brings us to verses 19 to 24, which is very interesting to me. So I'll read that one. Genesis 27:19-24. And Jacob said unto his father, I am Esau thy firstborn. So here he's lying. I have done according as thou badest me. Arise, I pray thee, sit and eat of my venison, that thy soul may bless me. And Isaac said unto his son, how is it that thou hast found it so quickly, my son? And he said, because the Lord thy God brought it to me. And Isaac said unto Jacob, come near, I pray thee, that I may feel thee, my son, whether thou be my very son Esau or not. And Jacob went near unto Isaac his father, and he felt him, and said, the voice is Jacob's voice, but the hands are the hands of Esau. And he discerned him not, because his hands were hairy as his brother Esau's hands. So we blessed him. And he said, art thou my very son Esau? And he said, I am. So what's interesting here is we have Jacob here lying deceptively to Isaac, what, three times?
Mm-hmm.
Something like that? But what I find fascinating here in verse 22, he feels him and says, okay, this feels like the hands of Esau, and yet the voice is clearly that of Jacob's. So in some sense, did Isaac know who it was? Yeah, he at least had a question in his mind. Based on this whole interaction, he had a question. So we can look back and say, okay, what could Isaac have done to get himself out of this trouble? Well, one of the things he could have done is call for Jacob. So I have Isaac on one hand, or Esau on one hand, and Jacob on the other. and that he can maintain his contact with Esau as he sends Jacob out on some sort of endeavor to do for him. And that way he could confirm who
it
was.
That's what God was just saying, more
And so, but he didn't trust his ears, he trusted his hands.
Well, he trusted the words. He gave his son three.
He trusted the son's words.
At least three times to
recant. Yeah.
Yeah, and it obviously Jacob himself wouldn't have lied. It was his mom that obviously provoked it.
No.
Because I mean, here he's only saying, he's given the opportunity.
Yes, so he clearly decided to fall in with the whole scenario and not to take ownership of his own situation.
It's funny, with all this deception going on, it seems to me it was God's intent to take the blessing.
Well,
it's strange that it happened with all the lying.
Mm-hmm. Well, and that takes us to Genesis 25:23-26. That would be Mary. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. 25:23-26. And the Lord said unto her, two nations are in thy womb, and two manner of people shall be separated from thy bowels. And the one people shall be stronger than the other people, and the elder shall serve the younger. And when her days to be delivered were fulfilled, behold, there were twins in her womb. And the first came out red, all over like a hairy garment, and he called his name Esau. And after that came his brother Alec, and his hands took hold on Esau's heel, and his name was called Jacob. And Isaac was at least 4 years old when she bare.
Okay, so we got this prophecy of the twins. Who is going to be the dominant person in this twin relationship? The elder shall serve the younger. So the younger is going to be the dominant in the dominating position. Okay. And so who is the older?
Esau.
So we have Esau's the older, Jacob's the younger, and he says Esau's going to serve Jacob. Now, from what we can tell from other passages, as we look in verse 27 and such, Esau was probably a very strong and very able-bodied man. And Jacob was probably smaller, probably, because of the type of work that they did. Okay. And so it's sort of interesting that we are looking here and saying, okay, the little guy is going to be the master over the big guy. And it's just like, well, this is all going backwards. Well, how is this going to happen? Especially when we see that the blessing is going to be targeting towards Esau. So Esau's the older. Esau's more than likely the stronger. Esau is the one that Jacob prefers and is going to bless. I'm sorry, Isaac. And so we have all of this stuff that says, okay, how in the world is Jacob going to take the position of supreme authority when everything is leaning Esau's way? And now we see that what God did was use this deception mechanism in order to bring about his will. That, yes, Jacob would be the authoritative figure. He would be the blessed one, even though everything was looking like it was going to be Esau. And so we need to remember that sometimes the way things look, that's not the way God's going to carry them out. So let's continue on, and what would it have meant? What would have been the meaning if Isaac would have said, oops, sorry, let's try this again? Proverbs 25:18-19. And we'll go to Job.
A man that beareth false witness against a neighbor is a maul, and a sword, and a sharp arrow. Confidence in an unfaithful man in time of trouble is like a broken tooth and a foot out of joint.
Okay. Now, would Isaac have been faithful man if he would have said, oops, sorry, let's try this again? Not really. All right. And so if your word can't be trusted, why would anyone ever believe anything you said? Let's continue looking at Proverbs 29:20.
Seest thou a man that is teaching his word? There is more hope of his soul than his
tongue. So if you speak without the proper evaluation and consideration and things, what is the claim that you are like?
Worse than a fool.
Okay, and so again, it's like, okay, what's your word worth? And it's from a child's perspective, well, if he can yank the blessing from Jacob and give it to Esau, then what's preventing him from yanking it from Esau and giving it to somebody else? I mean, ultimately, his word would be meaningless if he had done that.
Isaac and his trembling, and I mean, again, he probably, even though he gave us some perennial opportunity to fess up, ultimately it was his responsibility. And like you said, he didn't call both boys or go into more in depth to verify that he had the right son before him. So
yeah.
Ultimately, he's there.
Responsibility. Yeah, he does. He absolutely did bear the responsibility. That's one of the things that I sort of kind of shake my head on in the book of Ruth. I'm sorry, Esther, book of Esther. Sorry. When the king gave, when the king gave Haman his signet ring to write up this decree, who was responsible for the decree? The king was. When the king understood that it was addressing ultimately the queen's family, Esther's heritage and family, and Esther herself, why did he lay the blame purely on Haman?
That's the
kind of
king he was.
The king also refused to accept responsibility to diligently search out what is this people, who are these people, and who are the members of these people. How do we know that what Haman is saying is true? The king just believed Haman because he was his advisor. But the king should have borne the responsibility of his own actions as well. And he tried to sort of kind of skirt them off. He allowed them to be overcome in a different way, but he still should have borne the responsibility. Look at Ecclesiastes 5, 4 and 5. I'll read that one this time. When you vow a vow unto God, defer not to pay it, for he does not have pleasure in fools. Pay that which thou hast vowed. Better is it that thou shouldest not vow than that thou shouldest vow and not pay. So what does this have to do with the deliverance of a blessing? Well, a blessing is a type of a vow, a commitment. Right now, although the fullness of the blessing, the man making executing the blessing has no control over it, which is why it's speaking before God. He's saying, this is what God's going to do with you. So in essence, he believes he's speaking on behalf of God. And so if you say, this is what God says, and now all of a sudden you say, oops, God got it wrong, you're sort of kind of in a problem. And so all of that leads into, you're better off not speaking up than speaking up and making a fool of yourself and being mistaken and erring out. Sort of reminds me of a saying that is attributed to Abraham Lincoln, haven't verified the reliability of it, but it says, it is better to remain silent and thought a fool than to speak up and remove all doubt. And this is one of those play things that when you speak, you should consider to some degree you're speaking on behalf of God. Ecclesiastes 10:14.
A fool also is full of words. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him?
Okay, so for Isaac to change his mind, again, what is he identified as being? Yeah, he's acting in a foolish fashion. When you're speaking up and say, oops, sorry, do over. A fool is full of words. So the fool just speaks and rambles and rambles and rambles and talks and talks and talks, and he never gathers the information. I do find it interesting, certain characteristics of people tend to like to listen to themselves talk. And that's one of the signs of a fool, is you won't listen. You won't try to get information. He's just going to tell you what to do, what to think. A man cannot tell what shall be and what shall be after him. Who can tell him? And so he's also not going to receive any input to modify his words. And so he's committing himself to a grave error. Proverbs 18:17.
Okay. Mm-hmm. 18:17. He that is first in his own cause seemeth just, but his neighbor cometh and fisheth.
Okay. So when you, what here is when someone delivers you a case, an issue. Have you ever had someone come to you and say, you know, I have been wrong, this is how I've been wronged, and they lay out their case, right? Now, when you hear their case, more than often, what does it sound like?
They're the victim,
they're the innocent party, and so forth and so on. But, he says, his neighbor comes and searches him. And so, what happens a lot of times when we get to the other side of the story?
The first guy that.
Yeah, so there's some details that are missing. I was telling somebody before, I heard dating counseling where someone delivers their side, and then I hear the side from the other side, and it's like, man, you know, it's the same story. We switch names. Because everyone tries to put the other person as the evil perpetrator, or the perpetrator of evil. And they're just standing there minding their own business and trying to behave themselves and, you know, all those things. And so it's tough to figure out what's going on. But we need to find out what's happening. And in this case here, Isaac had enough information to question the validity of the person standing before him. And so he should have sought a way to come up to clarification. Now, he could have done one of the easy things he could have done would be to call for his wife. But what would position would that have left him in, Isaac, knowing the relationship between his wife and Jacob in that scenario? His wife favored Jacob.
So he could have called a servant.
Yeah, he could have called a servant. There's a lot of things that he could have done for confirmation and validation. Says, okay, something doesn't make sense here. Something doesn't fit. Let's go figure this out until it fits together. Right now, it doesn't fit. And so he didn't go with that.
Well, and I think sometimes we don't want to accept that somebody we trust is lying.
Right.
So they think that's where we fail a lot, more that this person,
It's the same type of thing I encounter sometimes with people on the issue of creation versus evolution. It's, well, all the scientists say evolution, and they would never lie to you. Like, well, yeah, really? Why wouldn't they?
Politicians
never lie. I've heard that one before, too. And what we do know is, no, men do lie. They lie about whatever in order to get their position of health. Matthew 5:34-37. just you. But I say unto you, do not swear at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great king. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay, for whatsoever is more than these comes of evil. And so when we consider the authority of our own work, when we speak and we misspeak, what's the source of that misspeak?
Relying on ourselves to tell the truth.
Right. And so we do have to realize that when we give our word, and he's referring to not necessarily the distribution of our understanding of facts, which we need to clarify as this is what I understand versus this is what I know, but also when we communicate what we believe is truth, we need to make sure that it is and not go, oh yeah, well I was mistaken, sorry about that, ha ha, let's move forward.
It's better to just say, be simple about it, say yes or no, rather than couch it in a vow.
Okay. Right? I'm a firm believer that yes and no question answers can be thoroughly confused. Because I've read some questions where people are asking a yes or no question, but it's like, okay, the way you phrase that, yes puts me into this corner, no puts me into that corner. So let me explain what I really mean. Right? Great illustration of that is the story of a man who was dealing with a lawsuit with respect to the county or something that they didn't do what they could for an accident that was caused by, anyway, I don't remember all the details of it, but in the case, the lawyer for the defense is asking the witness, the man that was involved in the incident, when you were approached by the officer, did you tell the officer that you were okay? And he says, well, now my mule, Betsy, he says, look, I don't want to hear about your mule, Betsy. I want to know whether or not you told the officer you were okay. He says, now my mule, Betsy, and he says, no, we're not going to go there. And the lawyer and the judge says, look, I want to hear about his mule, Betsy. So, sir, please continue. He says, well, my mule, Betsy, was in the trailer, and we had the accident, flopped the trailer over, and the mule was in the back. The police officer came up, looked at the donkey, shot him in the head. Came over me, he had his gun drawn, and said, sir, are you okay? Okay, man, it's like, okay, given the circumstances, just about anyone would say, I'm okay. And so that opens up a whole new panorama. Right? When you ask a yes or no question, it was yes, those were my words, but at the same time, there's more to it than that. And when you explain it, you're less likely to be to add confusion or basically misspeak. But when we do speak, and he's not saying necessarily you're answering yes or no questions, he's saying when you communicate, let your actions follow your communications. You don't go saying, this is what I want, what I believe, what I'm going to do, and then you change your mind and do the exact opposite later. And so it's when you are especially knowingly misspeaking, is when, no, that's really source from evil. There is a difference, though, when you communicate, well, this is what I think is going on, and you don't have all the facts, and you get more facts, and it's like, okay, well, now I understand more, so this is what I understand is going on there.
Well, that's where it becomes silent. It searches the matter.
It searches the matter.
Because you don't have a conclusion. Right.
Either a statement or a decision. Yeah. Let's go to John 12:49-50.
For I have not spoken of myself, but the Father who sent me, he gave me a commandment, what I should say and what I should speak. And I know that his commandment is life everlasting. Whatsoever I speak therefore, even as the Father said unto me, so I speak.
So when we speak and communicate to people, what do we need to have as part of the equation of factoring into what do we speak? What should we say to other people?
You can't say that God told me.
Right.
Say this or that.
Right. But when we do speak, not only should we be careful when we say God has spoken and said this, but we also need to remember that being made in his likeness and image, when we speak, in a sense, the fact that we are speaking, we are, in a way, speaking on behalf of God. People will get our understanding of who God is based upon what we say and how we say it. And so to revoke a blessing would be a huge evaluation of, well, who is your God then? What's the character of him? And then John 8:28-29.
Then said Jesus unto them, when ye have lifted up the Son of Man, then shall ye know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father hath taught me, I speak these things. And he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I do always those things that he said.
So as we speak, what should be one of our goals?
Please God.
And so we need to have that in our thoughts, that as we speak, how can I speak so that it may please God and bring him honor? And sometimes, yes, all of us, because we're in the flesh, we'll make mistakes, we'll mess up, but we need to repent of that and acknowledge our failure and move on. But when you are giving a vow, as Isaac was doing, you are speaking in a sense of, this is the promise that God will fulfill in you, and then to say, I was mistaken, it's not from God, it's from another source, that carries huge consequences. But he couldn't just say, oops, sorry, let's try this again, because he would be communicating that his God doesn't really know or understand anything. And so he was put in a predicament that he didn't want to be in, but he had ample opportunity to fix it. He just didn't go there. Any questions, thoughts, comments? You still think you should have been able to do it?
No, it just makes this one up. I'll be quieter now.
Okay.
That's the only thing I should.
So, just a response, if we don't know God's word, I mean, you're at a very disadvantage, because how can you please God if you don't know what pleases God?
Yeah.
So, I don't think that could be Bible scholar or anything, but there's very basic answers and comments.
Shall we pray? Father, we thank you for your divine grace and mercy, for the greatness of your love and your compassion. To know that you are ever with us, to lead us, to guide us, and to direct us into your will, to strengthen us and help us to communicate your grace, your love, and the truthfulness of your presence in our lives. Help us, Lord, to understand your way and your will. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Amen. No do-overs.
Without looking into it, you think that this kid and mother and so forth to conspire and go to law. So why not this person? So that's fairly easy to have initial reaction.
Right. Yeah.
There's a likewise a case in the book of First Samuel where Saul makes a decree no one is to eat anything until sundown. Jonathan wasn't there, but they sort of got into some partial battle loss because of the situation. Mm. And I was like, okay, wait, we've got some sort of curse going on here. God's working against us. And so even though King Saul spoke out with stupidity, because of his oath and because he was the king, his word still...